There's one other aspect to this thing, this time travel, that I want to acquaint you with. And that is that not only can we use wormholes to travel through time, it's also possible that we could maybe find these time machines existing in space in some way. Or we may be able to construct these time machines in a way which is kind of interesting. This technique turns out to have some relevance to what we're going to be talking about in the next session. So let's just talk about it a little while here. A couple of physicists who were very, very good at working in quantum mechanics, a fellow by the name of Yakir Aharonov from Israel, and his partner Lev Veidman, also from Israel, these guys have been very clever in working out ways to think about using quantum physics as a means to achieve time travel. And they came up with the notion of a kind of time machine. I want to explain to you a little bit about this. And after I do that, I then want to tell you about some of the paradoxes of time travel. In about 1990, Aharonov and Veidman proposed a kind of time traveling device in which a traveler was able to move through time either backward or forward while the remainder of the universe remained on standard time. And to explain how this worked is going to probably involve a little bit of your imagination, and I'm going to ask you to conceive of the following thing. I want you to imagine a sphere, a very big sphere, a massive spherical hollowed out shell of a sphere, almost like a bubble. It's hollow on the inside, but it's got a shell structure around it. And I want you to imagine that the shell of this sphere, it's very thin, but it's very dense, made out of maybe some neutron star material. I don't care. It's a very dense stuff. Okay. And you know, whenever you got dense stuff in relativity theory, you can begin to produce distortions of space and time. And that's exactly what this thing is. Okay, now this is a spherical shell. And what we're going to do is we're going to hook this spherical shell to what is known as a quantum computer. Now, a quantum computer doesn't just compute numbers, it computes all the possibilities that a number can be. So instead of just coming out with, say, the number one, it could come out with the number one, the number two, the number three, the number four. It computes all the possible different ways that that number can emerge. Okay? Now, I want you to imagine that we hook up this quantum computer, which, when it gives an output in all the possible ways that it gives an output, that we hook it up to this sphere. Now, what happens is kind of interesting. What happens is that if we hook it up and we don't look too carefully at what it's doing, what happens is that for every possible number that could come out of the quantum computer, as long as it's hooked to the sphere has a different radius. In other words, if it comes out with number one, the sphere would have a radius of, say, 1 unit. If it comes out with the number two, it would have a radius, say, of 2 units. If it comes out with the number three, it would have a radius. In other words, there would be parallel realities, according to quantum physics, all these alternate realities, like in parallel worlds, would be equally present all at once, provided no one's looking. Okay? This is what quantum physics predicts. So I want you to imagine, and that's what they've done. Okay? Now, whatever this state of the situation is, whether or not looking, we're going to call this the state S. It's the S state, the strange state. Now, it turns out that if you are inside of a sphere like this, there exists in the sphere, because the sphere is made of matter, there is a gravitational potential field in the sphere. And that potential field, you know what gravity fields do. Gravity fields slow time down. So it turns out that if the slowdown of the time takes place for a sphere with a radius of 1, if we change the radius a little bit, say to 2, that slowdown of time would also change, so that every possible sphere possibility could introduce a slightly different slowdown of time inside the sphere. In other words, we will call these slowdowns shifts of time. Now, if you could hook this thing up so that the computer generates a whoppingly big number of numbers, then you could get the sphere to be in a whoppingly big different numbers of radii. And even though each of these time shifts for each spherical radius would be a very small number, even for a sphere which has the mass of the Earth, it's only about like 7/10 of a nanosecond for something like that. If you have enough nanosecond time shifts piled together, 7/10 plus 7/10 plus 7/10 plus 7/10 plus billion times, you could build up a whoppingly big time shift. The only problem is you got to figure out some way that you can carry out an observation in which all of these time shifts add together. And these guys, these Israeli physicists, figured out a way to do it. I mean, it's very ingenious what they did. And what happens is that they not only could figure out a way to get all these time shifts to add together, but they could figure out a way to get the time shifts, even though they're all slowing downs, according to general theory of relativity, that means they all are distortions in a certain direction of time, positive distortions or just warping of slowings or whatever you want to call that. They figured out a way that they could make them go positive or negative. They can actually shift the time inside the sphere in a positive direction or a negative direction. In other words, they can make things go forward or backward in time inside of this massive sphere. Now, this is really intriguing if we could figure out a way to do that. In other words, it was possible to time travel in a kind of funny way in the sphere. Suppose, just let's try to imagine what we're talking about here, because this is pretty far out stuff, okay? What is it that shifts? I said time shifts, but what would be experienced? I mean, what if you were in this ship, this sphere, what would you be experiencing if you could somehow get all these time shifts to add together negatively or positively? What would be going on for you? What would you be experiencing? Well, it turns out that what quantum mechanics shifts around is not realities, but possibilities of reality. And what we're talking about here, and this is going to be important for the next session, is we're talking about shifting possibility waves in time, so that the possibility of something happening in the future gets enhanced or lessened, or the possibility of something that even happened in the past gets shifted so that it is less likely that it occurred in the past, or more likely. In other words, we're playing around here with the game of possibility. And what that means is that the knowledge of the space-time traveler inside this ship, the memory that the space-time traveler has of what's happening outside of the ship is being shifted forward or backward in time according to how we can get this time machine to work. Now, it isn't easy to get it to do this. I want to tell you, it's not very probable that you can do it. But the thing that makes this so unique is it doesn't even matter what state of consciousness you have when you enter the machine. If you happen to be thinking in a negative way, it would shift you negatively in a negative way. By negative, I mean thinking poor thoughts or dumb thoughts or stuff like that. If you happen to be thinking positively in a positive way, it would shift you in a positive way, positively, whether backwards or forwards in time. In other words, the state of consciousness that you have, which is your assessment of what's happening in the universe according to your possibility understanding of the universe, that's being shifted, and it's being shifted in a way in which you are beginning to develop either precognition or alteration of the past or reconsideration of what actually happened. However, let's say that you get shifted forward through time. Now you've gone into the forward through time future as it is. Remember, the rest of the world, by the way, is just minding its own business. You've gone forward, but the rest of the world hasn't. What happens is that not only do you go forward in your mind, but because all the probability fields associated with you get shifted with you, guess what that does to your body? You actually get older. In other words, if you entered this time machine and you were 20 years old and you could shift 40 years into the future to see what's going on, you come out of the time machine 40 years older. What would happen if you went into the time machine and you decided to go backward 20 years and you came out of the time machine? Would you actually be 20 years younger? What happens if you went back 40 years in time? Would you even exist? Intriguing when you start talking about the past, because now we're getting into the shifting of a possibility wave into an alternate reality, which may not be the reality in which the person who entered the time machine emerged from. And because we're now talking about the possibility of alternate realities coming into the picture rather than just one reality, we're opening up a way to talk about paradoxes of time travel, and that's what I want to talk to you next.